to the sixth way of becoming one with life, by maintaining the consciousness of life. Ask, what enables the spontaneous transformations of life to occur without fault? What supports and maintains their accuracy, allowing them to reformat the manifestation of our being without the slightest error of calculation, not even one mistake? As we are impelled to new heights, new paradigms of existence and experience, overforming in the process, what keeps us whole? What ensures we suffer no loss, that not one part of our essential being is sacrificed in the act of translation? As life lives itself as our life, moving us through the appearances of change, converting our being from one ideal state to another, is it even possible for us to evidence that which is not in keeping with the progression of its everlasting being? We would pray not, for on our never-ending journey of discovery, crisis would meet us at every turn. Were not life incapable of fault as it transmutes the manifestation of our being, we could lose a part of our essential makeup, be condemned to suffer lack, disease, alienation, endless peril. And why would we wish to experience such a life? Would we not prefer to be aware of the way in which life is living itself as us, conscious of the way it is transforming us from one exalted state to another, rather than transiting without conscious recognition, believing that part of our being is failing to make the shift, that our life is less than whole, less than ideal? In our heart of hearts, do we not desire to be fully conscious of life? Ultimately, we have no choice. For being omniscient, life can never create or express unconscious existence. As such, it must compel that which would believe itself to have lost conscious recognition to regain it, to rise from the sleep of death to the truth of eternal existence. Rekindling the flame of life, infusing it with light, with the full radiance of its omniscience, it awakens understanding, recalculating the way in which we and all experience life. Thereby, it is vital that we yield to this awakening, for it is the state of our consciousness which determines the energetic calculus of our being, influencing if it is to be fully experienced or experienced only in part, if we are to retain the divinity to which we are heir, or dim to the dream of mortal existence. As life bids us to ascend the scale of its infinite progression, as it occasions the remodulation of our energy, recalculating our form to match its own, we must consciously comply, or find that part of our being which does not, condemned to a state in which it falls prey to the miscalculations which cause and continue mortality. If we would spontaneously transit with life's impulsion, we must be vigilant, watchful, alert, open to and aware of each energetic shift life is bidding us to make, and we must be willing to make them, to take them on without resistance, without looking back, turning back, or holding back. Consecrating ourselves to the divinity of life, we must allow the light of its omniscience to fill the caverns of our dormant understanding, igniting them with the deep and constant insight of all that is true about life. Then will we regain our nobility, shore up the communal connections which form the cooperative community of life's expression. Then despite the counterfeit claims which would sabotage our intention, despite the diversions or acts of persecution, we will progress with life. Undaunted, undefiled, unaffected by the schisms and half-truths which would try to convince us to cling to a somnambulistic state like unto death. The truth is, life can never be destroyed. It is divine. It is eternal. It lives, progresses, and expresses itself as one and all, as a complex unity in which no part or element of its being can be diminished, discarded, or eliminated, but must, by its very nature, remain sound, whole. Thereby, that which we are must in actuality be sound, whole. Understanding this, accepting the ideal state in which life and thereby we exist anoints us with the power and sanctity of life, establishing our well-being, our ability to live in a transcendent state in which we instinctively coordinate with the synergy of life's internal calculus, altering our expression at its will. It gives us the ability to interface with life's gestalt, to live in a way that benefits the entirety of being, upholding that which is hallowed and noble, that which blesses the community in which we live. Imbued with the light of life's eternal consciousness, in possession of its divinity, its holiness, we claim our victory over mortality's lure, over anything which would sicken or damage life, persecute or inhibit its progress. Awake, aware, we sit at the right hand of the throne of being in awe of life, in awe of its majesty, its eminence, its ability to spiral us from one ideal state of existence to another, to enhance the presence of our being for the glory of itself, and awe. Oh, I cannot tell you how key this is. Our consciousness of life absolutely, completely determines our experience of life. Thereby, if life is impelling us forward and it's progressing us and it's mutating us, and in this instance, life is truth, it's transforming us, it is transforming our life, it is transforming our being. Not just our experience of life, but our very being. It is transforming us. And it is doing that. It is doing that. And it can never stop doing that. It's part of its being. Because life is its own infinite truth. It is part of its being. And because of that, it is going to do that. But if we're not consciously aware of that, then it seems as if the totality of us doesn't go along. To that degree that we are not conscious of the impact of life and of what it's doing, to that degree we hang back. To that degree we hold back. To that degree we hold on to the status quo that we were talking about before. So it is imperative that we desire with all our heart and being to be consciously conscious of life. To be conscious of each modulation of life, to be conscious of the impact of life as it impels us to progress, as it impels us to transform. If we make those transformations consciously, if we overform consciously, if we alter paradigm consciously, it's a very graceful flow. We just do it, we experience it, we never look back as we did before to see entropy. We just are going with the flow. And in this instance, we are transforming from ideal state to ideal state. Therefore, we leave no part of our being behind. Therefore, no part of us can appear to be sick or diseased or unwhole in any way. That's just an effect of the fact that we are not consciously conscious of the transformation that we're making in life. And so part of us is going with the flow, but part of us is hanging back. And that part of our consciousness, or that part of our psyche that appears to be hanging back, is the part that produces what appears to be some form of dissolution, some form of error, some form of life that is not accurate, some form of life that is not truly factual, some form of life that does not really reflect all those divine qualities of life. So in this position of life is truth, for those of you who are really aware of Christian Science and the science of being, you can feel in this deep position in particular the Christ consciousness in there. I mean, you can really feel the impact of the Christ just absolutely forcing transformation within our life. And what happens when we resist that is that we just evidence the errors of our own resistance. It's kind of that simple. But I know in actuality, in the practice of everyday life, it doesn't always feel that simple. And so, just like with every other place value, we need to make this place value very practical within us. We need to be very, very clear about the fact that the whole key here is the state of our consciousness. It's the key. Not just the state of our consciousness a la truth itself, but very specific here, the state of our consciousness of life. It is what we are aware of about life. It is how we adopt and take on and transform in accordance with the impulsions of life. It's how we exist. It's how we alter our existence. Well, that's not even the right way to say it. Actually, if you're coming out from the whole, the right way to say it would be that life is altering my existence, and I need to allow life to alter my existence. And maybe I need to be brave to do it, but I need to let life alter my existence, because it's going to anyway. It is absolutely going to anyway, and my resistance, as they say, is futile. You know, it doesn't do any good anyway. So therefore, I need to do this, and I also need to accept deep, deep, deep down within me that life is divine, and it is eternal, and it is indestructible. Thereby, it can never be destroyed. I cannot destroy it, an outside force cannot destroy it, the appearance of war cannot destroy it, the appearance of any malefaction cannot destroy it. It can appear to destroy my current interpretation of life, but it cannot destroy life. It cannot destroy my life. I am as eternal as life itself. Back in Life as Soul, I am as immortal as life itself. Life is divine, thereby my life is divine. It just is. Life establishes that divinity of its being as me. Are we following, coming out from life? Mm-hmm. Life is truth. Life is establishing the divinity of its being as me. It is establishing the ideal life that I live and that I am. It is taking me from one ideal state to another ideal state without my leaving any part of myself behind. No part of myself can fall asleep or dream. No part of myself can believe that it has dammed itself up or become Adam, that it has fallen into an Adam dream and is having a false dream about life. That's the belief of what we're doing here. We're dreaming about life rather than living life. And somehow, through the cracks of that sleepy dream, the truth, which is the truth of our being, is coming through. And it is awakening, 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 awakening our sense of life. Until it has never descended, it has never slid backwards, it has never done anything. Until I am just in that amazing state where I transform with every impulsion that comes from life. And I don't just do this myself individually, I'm doing this as an entire community. So we need to know for the world that life is the consciousness of all. And right here, right now, all are conscious of life and have not held back to a first 1,000-year period consciousness or a second 1,000-year period or a third or a fourth or a fifth, because what we're seeing in the world are memory recordings of different states and stages of the consciousness of life. It's so easy to see why one collective faction that calls itself a nation has difficulty communicating with another collective faction that calls itself a nation. It's because they're in different states and stages of consciousness of life. And when they try to talk to each other, they don't understand. Now, obviously, the one that has the greater, the more advanced, the more comprehensive state of understanding of life can more easily understand the one that has a more limited sense of life. But the one that believes that it's back in a 3,000 or 4,000-year period of life, the one that believes that it has a more limited sense of life, is having great difficulty understanding where the other collective consciousness is coming from. Mm-hmm. And so this is what creates this upheaval, which then in life, the counterfeit of life and love, you know, becomes war. But it's the angels, you know, in consciousness that are warring. This is before even thinking about humanity here. Even though it does have a practical application for everyday society and humanity. But it's understanding that never, ever, 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 ever did life fall asleep. Or did life cease to be aware of what it is. Nor did the expression of life that appears as us cease to be aware of what life is. Even through the dream, we are intrinsically aware of that which life is. And the more aware we become, the more we wake from the dream of life in matter, of life, you know, in this particular state. So it is really practical if we come out from life is truth and we understand that life is ideal and we accept that life is ideal, we adopt that life is ideal, we understand that it's always been ideal and it ever will be ideal, and that it is the ideal sense of our life, that has a very practical implication, because the more that I recognize the true sense of my life, the more that I'm conscious of that true sense of life, the more it exemplifies itself in my being and as my life, and it can look like healing or it can look like whatever. But it's really the consciousness of life that we need to be seeking here, and not just the healing of a false sense of life. But that comes. That's a natural byproduct. The minute you understand that 2 + 2 = 4, it automatically eradicates that 2 + 2 could be anything else. So the minute I become truly, completely conscious of life and awake from the dream of life, awaken and enliven the consciousness of life within me, allow the truth of life to awaken the consciousness of life within me, then I will understand on a very deep, deep level that my life is eternal and it can never be destroyed, and it never has been. And it never, ever could be, and it never will be. And with that assurance that you have that life can never be destroyed, it gives you, I don't know how to put it, but it gives you such a tangible sense of the ideal state of life that it enables you to demonstrate that in everyday life occurrence. When something appears as if it has been destroyed, whether it's an object or a person or whatever, it does re-enliven itself in your experience, in whatever way that is possible. It really does do that. So I would cling to the omniscience of life, the fact that life is omniscient, that it has that capacity within itself to be conscious of all that it is, to be conscious of the ideal that it is, and thereby it can never be unconscious of it. And if life can never be unconscious of what it is, truly I cannot be unconscious of what life is. I really have the full consciousness of that which life is right now, right here. And so do you, and so does the world. And we need to know that no part of living, expressing being or existence is caught back in time, is caught in space, is caught in a belief of fragmentation, is caught in a belief of retrogression, is caught somewhere in sleep. No, it isn't. And we need to affirm that in the depth of our being. And in so affirming, it alters the collective consciousness of life. And that is a gift that is given to us, that we can resonate and reflect into the collective atmosphere. Okay. All right. So it ends here. Well, it's interesting. As I look down at the page, the word that comes up at me and kind of waves at me here is consecration. And so maybe that's it. Maybe we just really need to consecrate ourselves to the divinity of life, to the ideal state of life, consecrate ourselves to the wholeness of life, and let that ideal state manifest in our experience. Let that deep inner calculus that it is at work within life, let it calculate correctly. If I don't interfere, that deep inner calculus that's going on within life, can you hear that divine infinite calculus of life there? That deep inner calculus that's going on within life, if I don't interfere, it functions, it operates, it evidences that which it is supposed to evidence. Therefore, it is automatically reforming my life. As it recalculates and remodulates, it reforms my life. Not from bad to good, from ideal state to ideal state. It transforms me, it reforms me. So I need to just sing that song. I need to have it just flow inside of me and just resonate inside of me. And I need something to keep saying, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Smell the flowers. Live life. Let life live you. Let it alter you. Let it transform you. Let it overform you. Let it take you from ideal state to ideal state. Go with it. Do it. Be brave. Be courageous. Make those transformations, whatever it's calling on you to do. And I cannot even begin to predict what that's going to be, because at each stage and state of the consciousness of our being, it's going to call upon us to make some other transformation. And whatever that is, we just have to be obedient and do it. And the secret, of course, as we said at the beginning, is to maintain the consciousness of life, because I can't make those transformations if I'm not conscious of what they are. If I don't know that the divine wants me to move to Europe, then I can't move to Europe. I mean, I can't be obedient and just say, okay, fine, I'm going with the flow, I'm going to move to Europe. I can't do that unless I'm consciously conscious that that's the next stage in my existence or my experience. So therefore, I need that. The key here, totally, is to be conscious of life. And that's true if we take on something much, much bigger, which is to overform, you know, where you're really talking about ascension. You're really talking about giving up this whole sense of your life and taking on a whole new form of life. And, you know, isn't that what we're maybe just a little scared of? Because apparently we've been caught in this limited sense of life for however, you know, belief of time, to such a point that we're not sure what that new form of life is going to be. And so isn't it natural to kind of, you know, cling to the one we know? But no, let's be brave. Let's move forward. Let's be willing to be so conscious that we even get a glimpse in consciousness of the new form of our life. We can see what life is going to be like in Europe. We can see what it's going to be if we have a new partner in our life. We can see what life is going to be even as we transform and appear to overform or ascend or whatever you'd like to call it. I think we do get that premonition ahead of time, and I think it does give us the consciousness ahead of time of whatever that form is going to be. So therefore, we don't need to hang back. It will never require anything of us that we are not prepared to do. It will never require us to make a transition that we're not prepared in consciousness to make. Ever, ever, ever. And so we can rejoice in that. And just know that as it calls upon me to transform, to overform, I want to do it. And I am doing it right here, right now. As we sit together, we are collectively transforming and overforming. Trust me, nobody's going to walk out of here the same. And that includes me. Mm-hmm. Because collectively, we have taken on a new consciousness of life.